If you're just visiting, then we'll just let you know right off the back, we're kind of in the middle, or actually at the back end of our annual week of prayer and fasting. How's it been going for you guys so far? Amen. Dude, that is, that. I want to see that excitement, even despite some of you guys probably haven't even eaten since Sunday, right? So that's good to have some excitement. Definitely has been, I've been blessed so far. Not no miraculous answers to prayer, but just definitely feeling the Lord's presence with me and just the peace that surpasses all understanding that comes with that, that's promised in Philippians. So that in itself is worth just, you know, that intentionality of seeking Him this week. And so we're going to get going. What we're going to do tonight, we are going to be in Luke chapter 11. And we're going to look at, if you guys were here last Sunday, we went through the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6, where Jesus kind of gives us an example of how to pray or kind of a model for it. And so in Luke 11, he kind of gives the same model to his disciples a second time. So obviously it must be pretty important. And what we're going to do is as we go through this, we'll have it up on the screen up there, and we're going to kind of pick it apart piece by piece and pray through this prayer together corporately, all right? So just to kind of start it out, it says in verse 1, Luke 11, "Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray,' as John taught his disciples. And he said to them, 'When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name.'" So here Jesus is praying, and we talked about this on Sunday, how obviously if the Son of God, who was God in the flesh, thought it was important to take the time to pray, how much more important is it that we do this, right? What we're doing this week, being intentional about seeking the Lord in prayer. And you see Jesus do that all throughout his ministry. And these disciples of his, they're sharp, they notice this, and they teach, they ask him, "Teach us to pray," not teach us how to pray, but just teach us to pray, because they humbly are admitting that it's hard to persistently do this. Like, it's where it might be natural to call out to God, it's not natural to do this regularly like Jesus was doing. And so they ask him, "Teach us to pray." And he goes through this model, and the first thing he starts with is, you know, well, approach God as with reverence, like approach God, like hallowed be your name, Father, hallowed be your name. The kind of the idea with hallowed is respect, like extreme respect, like have reverence when you come to God, like understand who it is that you're talking to. And this helps your prayer life, because if you understand the magnitude of who it is you're talking to, the God of the universe that's sovereign and control, that knows all things, you understand that there is nothing that's too big for him to handle in your life. It's all really simple. It's all actually prayer in itself. It's not like you're bringing things to God's attention. It's not his for his benefit at all. It's for your benefit. And he already knows what you're doing, but he loves you so much, he just wants you to come to him. He actually wants that relationship, that fellowship. And so he says, approach him, hallowed be your name, like understand with reverence and respect. And then he also says, approach him as your father. And we talked about on Sunday how the crazy thing with God is, even though he is the sovereign, all-powerful, all-knowing God of the universe that created everything, including you, we've been brought into relationship with him where we can address him as our father through our faith in Jesus Christ. You've been adopted into his family, and he tells you to call him daddy. And that's just crazy. But to understand that parent-child relationship is key, because no dad would want bad things for their kid, and any dad wants their kid to come to them. And so what we're going to do to start this night out, I'm going to ask you guys to kind of just one by one, go ahead and stand up, because we're gonna be worshiping the Lord, because that's the only natural thing to do. You see in heaven when people come into the Lord's presence, they're always worshiping him. So we're going to worship him in the midst of these prayers. But the first thing we're going to do, I'm going to ask you guys to do just individually, one by one, you know, praise the Lord for who he is. Praise him because of his greatness and his awesomeness and how he's shown that to you in your life. But also praise him for the fact of what he's done in accomplished in saving you from your sins so that you could be his child. Amen? We could do this all night. We could just stand here and praise him. We won't do that. But you should have a billion zillion things right now to just praise the Lord for. And don't worry what people think or what who cares? Nobody cares about you that much. And the thing is, It's just the natural thing. Like I said, God's presence is in this place right now. If you didn't know that, He is. He's right here. It says He's in the midst of His church. Where two or more gathered, He's there. So He's here right now. And the natural thing in being in the presence of God is just to praise Him for who He is. So let's take some time now just to do that. We acknowledge that, Lord. You are a good, good Father. It just to use that word good does not seem enough, Lord, but it's the best we can do, Father, to describe You. We only have limited vocabulary, but we know you know what we mean, Father. You've just been nothing but good to us in our lives, and we acknowledge that first and foremost, Lord. You have been always faithful. You have truly just always kept all of Your promises, and we have no reason to doubt You won't continue to, Lord. So we acknowledge first and foremost tonight, just hallowed be Your name, Lord. We revere You. We honor You. We worship You, Lord. We praise You. And at the same time, we acknowledge that You are our Father in heaven. Thank You so much for making that possible, for being willing to allow Your Son to die, not for His sin, not for anything He deserved, but for what we deserved, for our sins, so that we could be forgiven and know You as our Father, Lord, and have this ability to come here tonight and talk with You and know that You hear us, Lord. Be with us as we continue on, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You guys can take a seat. And the second thing Jesus goes on to say here, He says, first, Father, hallowed be Your name. Then He says, Your kingdom come. And we talked about this on Sunday as well, how God's kingdom right now, spiritually, it's inside of us. When we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior, His Spirit comes to dwell inside of us. It says in 1 Corinthians, I think it's 1 Corinthians, yeah, pretty positive, that you've become the temple of God now, where His presence dwells inside of you, which is a crazy thing. I don't pretend to understand that completely, but that is what God says in His word. So that is the reality. So therefore, wherever you go, God's kingdom goes. And kind of as people get saved, you know, God's kingdom expands. And one day we know Jesus is going to come back, praise the Lord, and He's going to set things the way they were intended to be on this earth, and He's going to rule and reign and establish His kingdom here. And we look forward to that day, but right now His kingdom lives inside of us. And as we go out into that dark world and we be the bright light, you know, we want God's kingdom to come. We want His will to be done in us and through us, because His will is to, in a sense, further His kingdom, for more people to get saved. And so that's what we're praying for, in essence. That's what He's saying, pray for here. And so we're going to do that. We're going to take a second, just individually, like where you're at, to talk with God and ask Him for His will to be done in your life. And I have two specific things I'd like you to pray for, in addition to just His will being done in your own life. And that's, and some of you guys have probably heard kind of talk about this, but this is kind of the first official announcement at church. But a while ago, I'm guessing like 3 or 4 months ago, if I'm remembering right, I don't know dates. My head's not working perfectly right now. But all that to say is, we were approached by the people at Seaside Calvary. If you guys don't know, it's a church that was planted, I want to say, about 11 years ago by somebody that came out of this church. And Steve King, and he passed away, I think almost 2 years ago. And so they have been without a pastor at that church and kind of supplementing with what they could in that meantime. But they approached us about kind of taking them under us, or kind of taking over leadership there. And we prayerfully considered it for a long time, kind of did a dating period, if you will, like where we filled in and taught there so they could get to know us and we could get to know them. And they still actually wanted us, actually, after getting to know us. So that was a plus. And so we continue to pray, and we just felt like overall we're not sure exactly what the Lord wants to do there yet, but we felt like the door did not close, and that's what we were praying specifically for. And we felt like we did not want to leave those sheep without somebody to shepherd over them. And so starting next week, we are going to have Seaside Calvary as kind of an extension of Coastline at the moment. On Wednesday nights, we're going to have a midweek Bible study at 7, led by Michael to start off with. And then on Sundays, we're going to, for all intents and purposes, add a third service in the evening there at 6 o'clock at night. And so I'm going to ask you guys to pray with us on this. This is kind of an exciting thing. We're going to start it out really small and just take a small crew down there at first, somebody to teach, somebody to lead worship, a couple people for support, and we're going to see what the Lord does with that. And I'm confident the Lord will make it clear what he wants to do. So I'm going to ask you guys to pray, because that's kind of exciting, because there's a whole nother community there that obviously needs Jesus. I know some of you guys come from there. And amen. Thank you. Yes, I'm excited to see what the Lord's going to do. Now, the second thing, and this is a ministry we've mentioned before, but we're getting pretty close to kind of launching this breakthrough ministry, a ministry in the community that's going to be focused on reaching people that are struggling with addiction in some manner. And that could be any addiction. Maybe it's alcohol or drugs or pornography, whatever it is, it's going to be geared towards reaching those people, people maybe within the church, but especially people outside the church as well, because we know there's only one true thing that can give anyone breakthrough from their flesh, and that's Jesus Christ, right? And he's freed many of us from that. And so that's the exciting thing. We're going to go in this area, which we all know has tons of people struggling with addiction, and we're going to try to reach out to those broken people and give them the one thing they need. And it's going to involve using people within the church, too, that the Lord's already delivered from those things, to kind of disciple these people and encourage them and point them to Jesus. And so Stephen Smiley's going to be kind of heading that up. He's been working hard, prayerfully seeking the Lord and what this thing is going to look like. And I want you guys to pray for that too, because I'm just, these are things that have been developing not quickly. They were prayed about for a long time, and it just seemed like the Lord kept the door open and kept confirming them. So we're kind of going to go into a new season where we're going to see what the Lord does in these things. Amen. So let's go ahead, just where you're at individually, just between you and God, pray for these things and pray for his will to be done in your life as well. Lord, we thank you for that truth of how much you love us, Lord. And that's why we can come to you and we can fully ask for your will to be done in our lives, Lord, and not have any hesitation with doing that, because we know that you love us so much, as demonstrated by the fact that you let your son die for us. You treasure us. We have never had love shown to us the way that you've shown it to us. And because of knowing how much you love us, we don't have to doubt that you only have good intentions for us. You say that in your word, Lord, but we have no reason to doubt it. You've proven it to us by the love you have for us. So we can just say without any doubt whatsoever, Lord, your will be done. Your kingdom come in our lives. Because even if it doesn't, if things don't happen the way that we want, we know that you know better than us. You're the all-knowing and all-powerful God, and that better way that you have for us truly is what's best for us, because you wouldn't do anything bad to those you love, Lord. So we want that submitted and surrendered heart, Lord. We come to you and we say, your will be done in our lives, Lord. Your kingdom come, please, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You guys can take a seat. And my bad, kids, you can be dismissed. I just love hearing your sweet voices worshiping, so didn't want to let you go. Jesus goes on to tell his disciples here. He says, give us each day our daily bread. And so bread here, he's literally talking about real bread, because bread was kind of a staple of their diets back then. It was something that they would eat every day. So in essence, what he's saying is pray for your daily needs. And I talked about Sunday, how often we go to God with the big stuff, but we forget that he's the provider of our daily stuff too. He's the provider of everything in our lives. And so it's important to acknowledge that, to come to him and either pray, Lord, just, you know, like pray for my provisions that I need today, but also just acknowledge, like, when you have those provisions, thank you, Lord, for providing for my needs. And what I would just say, like, kind of the word that was on my heart as I was praying about this before service and studying, maybe some of you guys have some real needs right now that you're praying for. But like I talked about on Sunday, when we look at them from like a long-term aspect, like you've got this big need out there, and it can kind of stress us out sometimes. Like, how is God ever going to do this or provide this thing for us? You know, this thing for me, it's so big and it's just impossible for him to do. But sometimes you can kind of rein that in to look at it from like a immediate perspective. And you can, it seems more doable and you can have more peace because you can look at the end of the day and you can say, well, God did provide that need for me. Because I'm still here. I still have food on the table. I still have a shelter over my head. I still have clothes on my back. And so maybe that long-term thing that seems so insurmountable for the day at hand, it's attainable. It's God's done it already. And so that has a way of making it not seem so big. And I think that's one of the reasons why Jesus says, you know, don't talk, you know, like, even though it'd be nice to know that you're set for a year in advance, or, you know, like, you don't have to worry, you have the whole plan kind of laid out for you for a long period of time. Jesus is like, no, it's better that you just seek God daily and you pray for your daily need and then you thank him for your daily need. And you know, I talked about this on Sunday too. The reason for that, or one of the reasons for that, is that ultimately what you learn the longer that you walk with God is that you need the prayer more so than the thing you're praying for, because the prayer is your connection to God. See, we think we need those things, like that those answers to the prayers so bad and stuff, but really what you need is the one that answers those prayers, the provider of all things. And so that praying and seeking God daily keeps you close to him, which is the best place you can be. And so what we're going to do now is we're going to do what he just says here. We're going to kind of pray for our daily needs. And what I would say is if the Lord's taking care of you today and he's provided everything, thank him for that. And if you have one of those big things that I'm talking about, and you know what, it could look different to anyone. Maybe you have a big bill that needs to be paid. Maybe you have some big need, like you're moving and you need to find housing. I'm just kind of throwing stuff out there. Or you need to find a new place to live. And in this crazy place we live where rent's just super expensive, you know, it seems really big. But you just need to approach it from a daily perspective, like where it's like, Lord, you know I have this need coming up. Thank you for providing it today. And Lord, I just trust you to provide it tomorrow. And taking it a day at a time will help it not seem so impossible. Amen? So we're going to do that right here, just kind of individually where you're at. And one thing I want to say is this altar, like up here, this is open all night. Like if you have something specific that is really weighing on you, that's heavy, that you really want to give to the Lord and you're having trouble doing it, I'm going to ask you to just in humility come up here and just you come up to the altar and kneel down so that the elders can come and pray for you. We want to pray with you if you're doing it. You don't even need to tell us what it is if you don't feel comfortable. We want to come up and pray with you. And if not us, someone else. But we're not supposed to go through this life alone. We're not supposed to bear our burdens alone. We're supposed to bear them with each other and we're supposed to pray for each other. So it's not, you have nothing to be ashamed from for acknowledging that you have something that you would like somebody to pray for you with or with you. Craig gave a great word last night, like about how we want to involve other people in going and bringing our needs to Jesus. If you were here, you know that. If you weren't, you missed it. But all that to say is that is nothing we should be ashamed of. And all of us go through that where we have these big things that we need our brothers and sisters kind of lift us up and pray with us on these things. So don't hesitate if that's you. Maybe the Lord would kind of put that in your heart that you need that and you want other people praying with you. So let's go ahead and take this time to do that right now. We thank you, Lord, for providing our daily bread every day up to this point, Lord. We're still here. We're still standing. We're still breathing. We have clothes on, Lord. You have been nothing but faithful to provide our needs, which is what you promised, Lord. Not our wants, because you know better what we need than we do, but you've provided our needs. And thank you, Lord, that you make it really simple for us. You tell us just to seek first the kingdom of God and your righteousness, and all these other things will be given to you. Like, we seek you first in following what your word says, and you'll work everything else out. We don't need to worry about it. Lord, thank you for the peace that comes with that. We want to walk in that promise. We want to just look to you daily and trust you and praise you for being faithful at the end of every day. And we know that we can continue to do that because you will always be faithful and provide for us, Lord. Thank you. You, the one that has no limits, that has no bank account that expires, or you who owns the 1,000 cattle on hills, Lord, you own it all. It's all yours. Everything comes from you. And we acknowledge that you have been overly good to us, Lord. You don't just grace us out. You give us your grace upon grace. Every time an instance of your favor stops in our life, the next one starts. And we acknowledge it, Lord. You are nothing but good and been a faithful provider. And we thank you for continuing to do that in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So Jesus goes on to say here, and forgive us of our sins, and we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. So he goes on to talk about praying for forgiveness of sins. And we talked about how this is a continuation of the previous verse. So it's something we should do daily. And I mentioned Sunday how, sometimes we think of like sin in, like in big terms, like, oh, there's these big grievous sins. I don't have any of those in my life. But the reality is we do need to do daily kind of litmus checks, like in go before God and say, Lord, is there anything wrong in my heart? Because it's so easy for the sins all sins equal in God's eyes. But like the things that we wouldn't see at face value, like maybe, you know, like the bad comments we make about people, or the grumbling or complaining that we do, or, you know, the little white lie or whatever, you know, like those things are all still sinful in God's eyes. And so it's important to come before him daily and say, Lord, first, is there something, a matter in my life that's not right with you? You know, show me it if I'm not seeing it. And then confess those things. And it says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all righteousness. Like, we're already positionally through the blood of Jesus, we're forgiven of that sin. But when you have unconfessed sin in your life, it creates this awkwardness with God. And that word there for forgive literally means to send away or release. So like when we confess it to God, in a sense, we can confidently know that we're forgiven of it and we're not condemned for it, and we can just release it, like let it go. We don't have to feel weird about it with God. And so that's why he tells us like daily we need to do that. And he the second part of that where he says, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us, that's like past tense. Like what he's saying is you should have already forgiven anyone of any trespasses that they did against you before you come to God and ask for forgiveness, because you'd still be in sin otherwise. So, you know, this is a good opportunity where if you have some anger towards someone, if you have bitterness towards someone, you know, to give that to God, because that's not God's intent for you. You know, like sometimes we can hold on to things and say, well, that person did do something wrong and he doesn't deserve to be, or she doesn't deserve to be forgiven. But the thing is, it's like God sets the example for us in giving us what we don't deserve, right? I mean, imagine if God reacted to us and only gave us what we deserved, right? We'd be really not good off at all, right? I mean, we'd be on our way to hell, eternally separated from him. But God showed you grace in that even before you loved him, like you didn't deserve anything. But because of his love for you, he showed you his grace. And he allowed his son to die in your place for your sins so you could be forgiven of him. And you could come into this relationship and receive every spiritual blessing. You didn't deserve any of that. You still don't deserve it. It's only by the blood of Jesus that you deserve it. Because you're made righteous right before God because of what Jesus has done for you. So likewise, because he's forgiven you, even though you didn't deserve it, because he's shown grace to you, the Bible says we're to show that same forgiveness and grace towards others. And his spirit inside of us is what enables us to do that. And I'm telling you, man, I mean, how many of you guys like being angry at people or bitter? It's not fun. When you really think about it, it's not fun. It just causes stress and just your mind thinks about it, and it causes discouragement in your life. And it's like the easiest thing to do is just give it to God and let him deal with it. Trust him with it. And so we want to do that all the time. Like if it starts to creep in, we just want to give it to God. And Lord, I forgive this person because I know you paid for their sins, and I just trust you with it. And I'm going to show grace because grace has been shown to me. And it's that simple, man. It's just letting it go. And you're not just letting it go in the infinite. You're giving it to God to deal with and handle. Amen? So if you've got something against somebody, now's the time to just forgive them. You don't have to go up to their face. Sometimes that's a good thing to do, but you can just forgive them and let it go. And then also, if it, you know, check your, have the Lord check your heart. If there's a sin in your life that you need to confess to him, do it now. Or ask him, you know, search your heart and make sure there isn't anything there. And what we're going to do is we're going to do communion. Because communion is what the Lord established in remembrance of what he's done for you. And you drink that, you eat that bread, that little piece of cracker, and you remember his body that was broken for you. That in a sense, you know, your old self, your nature that was a slave to sin was killed alongside him. Like it went to the grave with him, and you've been freed from that nature to have to do what's wrong. That old man, that's dead, and now you're alive in the Holy Spirit that's regenerated you, and now you can walk according to his word, or you can live and do what his word says by the power of his spirit that's inside of you. And you take that cup, and you drink that juice, and you remember his blood, his precious blood that paid the price in full for your sin so that you could be justified, made as if you had no sin. Like, it's not that he swept your sin under the rug or just chose to forget it. No, it was paid for. It was dealt with. There was a price that needed to be paid, and it was a great price. And only the death of his perfect son could pay that price. And he was willing to give it because he cared about you that much. Individually, every single one of you, he thought of you when he was dying, and it was worth it to him to die for your sin so that you could know him for eternity. So we remember that. And if the enemy's tricked us into feeling condemned, we acknowledge that, no, Jesus has paid for it. He came to save, not condemn. I'm not condemned because there's no sin anymore because he's paid the price for it. Amen? And for you guys that are being super legalistic about your fasts, Jesus told us to do this often, all right? So James says something about being a doer of the word. I like to follow God's word. If you don't, that's up to you. But I'm gonna take the communion, and I'm gonna assure Jesus is gonna be okay with it. Amen. All right. So Beth's gonna play another song. You're allowed to. You are encouraged to come up, do communion on your own, and kind of just like I said, go before the Lord with any sins or just, you know, like ask him to search your heart and making sure that you don't have any trespasses against other people. Lord, we thank you for the forgiveness of sins. We thank you for what you did for us on the cross, Lord. Lord, that we have been made completely righteous and justified in your eyes is an amazing thing. And we are forever grateful for it. And we don't want to ever lose the sight of the magnitude of that, Lord, that we can come before the most holy, righteous God of the universe and do it boldly, not in fear and trembling, because when you see us, you see your son, Jesus. And we don't ever have to doubt that because it was all based on what he's already done, not on anything we're doing or not doing, Lord. And we thank you that you've started that process of sanctifying us or practically making us a new thing, like where we are literally righteous, like you're conforming us to the image of your son. You're making us more like Jesus, and that you've promised in Philippians that one day you will complete that work you started. When we're with him, when we see him, we'll be like him. And we look forward to that day, Lord, and we don't have to struggle with this flesh anymore. But thank you that you've given us your spirit to deal with it and given us the power to walk in victory in the meantime, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. And that leads us into the next thing Jesus talks about here, and it's lead us not into temptation. Is my mic on? Okay, just making sure. I couldn't hear. It says lead us not into temptation. So again, the idea here, you might have heard, like temptation, testing are kind of two different words that are interchangeable in the Bible, because what the enemy would use as a temptation for you, the Lord would use as a test. A test isn't necessarily something bad. We know that God doesn't tempt men to do evil. James 1:13 says that. But the Lord used tests to kind of show himself like in our lives to encourage us. It's through the testing that we grow, basically. We learn to endure. We develop spiritual character, maturity. It's kind of like, think of it as like when you're going through hard things and you stand firm in the Lord and faith in him and in his spirit that's empowered you to stand in those things and not give in. It's kind of like working out. You're building your spiritual muscles in doing that. And we talked about how God makes a promise to us in 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation or test has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. So God makes this promise that if there is a temptation or a test in your life, he will give you the grace to say no, like a way out, to endure it. So there's no such thing as, like, sometimes when we, you know, we're frustrated with something that we continuously are struggling with in sin, and like, oh, I can't have victory in this. I can't, combat this thing. I can't not do it. That's a lie from the enemy that we've believed, because God has already given you the victory if he's allowed that thing in your life. He's given you the grace to get out of it. You just have to, like we talked about, the reason Jesus is saying, lead us not in temptation, approach God with this humble request to, like, help us in testing, Lord, is that, you know, oftentimes we try to do it in our own power, thinking like we can overcome it somehow, and we can't. Just like we couldn't overcome it before, we've been set free of having to do it, but we still need to rely on God and his strength. And when we come to him in humility, saying, protect us from temptation, Lord, we can, like, when there is a temptation or a test that comes into our lives, we can, like, kind of confidently say, all right, I don't have to do this, because God wouldn't have allowed it if he wouldn't have given me a way out, if he wouldn't have given me the ability to say no. So I can say no by his power, by his grace, by his spirit that's inside of me, and I don't have to do this thing. I'm new in Christ. He saved me from having to listen to my flesh. And it's a confidence in him, not in yourself. That's what we're learning, to rely on him and not ourselves, and walk in this victory he's given us. So we're going to spend some time just doing what Jesus says here, and that's pray for the Lord not to lead us into temptation or testing. Help us, Lord, not give in to that. And maybe there's some of you that have that specific thing in your life that you know that you struggle with, or that you are struggling with. And either it's something that kind of reoccurs, and so you want to ahead of time kind of pray and seek the Lord. Lord, lead me not into this temptation. Like, help me, Lord, walk in that victory you've given me. Or it's something that you're currently struggling with, and you just, like, the Lord's reminding you, like, you don't have to do this. Like, I've freed you from it, and I've given you a way out. And you just want to, like, in a sense, walk in that promise. You want to grab hold of that and leave here in that victory. You may have come here failing in it and kind of giving in to that temptation, but you can leave here walking in the victory that Christ has already won for you. And I guarantee that's what God has for you tonight, if that's you. If the Holy Spirit's putting that on your heart right now. And I would encourage you, too, to come up here. And you don't have to tell me what it is that you're struggling with, but we want to pray with you. You shouldn't have to go through that alone. So we're going to take this time right now just to come to the Lord, ask him to help us with those temptations in our life, and kind of give them to him and ask for that victory to be able to walk in his grace, be strong in his grace, not in our own strength, but in his grace, and kind of living that abundant new life and saying no to our flesh that he intends for each of us. Amen. And Lord, we thank you again, Father. We thank you, Lord, that we truly can look to you and ask you to help us in our time of need, Lord, and time of testing or temptation, and just have that confidence of knowing, Lord, that you've provided a way out. You've freed us from having to follow our flesh. You've freed us from slowly and surely destroying ourselves. We're not that old man anymore. It's died. It's went to the grave. We have been regenerated. We have been born again, and we are new in you, Christ, and we are as beautiful as we could ever be to God the Father, because he sees you when he sees us. And you've empowered us with your spirit to live practically in what we've already been made positionally with God. So much so that God, when he sees us, he, as it says in Romans, like, we're referred to as glorified. He already sees us in our glorified state, because he knows without a shadow of a doubt that one day we will be glorified, just like you are, Jesus. And we look forward to that day, Father. I thank you so much, Lord, for just being with us in this place tonight. I thank you, Lord, that you've given us access to you. Complete access. Not just here at church. I mean, we come here, we don't want to forsake the gathering of the saints, because we know that you're in your church and you do something when we get together with other believers. But Lord, that we can go from here and still just pray on the way home, talk to you on the way home, talk to you, Lord, When we get home, but as we fall asleep, first thing in the morning, like, we have access to you whenever we want. And you desire that. That's the crazy thing. You're running the whole entire universe at this very moment, making all those stars rotate and twinkle, making this the planets orbit. You're making everything breathe that you created, yet you have the time for us. And you desire us to talk for no apparent reason other than just to talk, to have that relationship with you. Because like I said, it's not like you need us to talk to you to understand what's going on. You already know it. But you just desire to have that closeness with your children. And Lord, we'd be foolish not to take advantage of it. So as we go our way, I pray you'd be on our mind. I pray we just continue to grow in being people that pray constantly without ceasing and talk with you and involve you in every aspect of our lives, Lord. And thank you that these requests we've made to you tonight, we can be 100% confident that you've heard them as long as we're praying according to your will and that you'll answer them. And it will be for our best, Lord, because that's all you do in our lives. So I pray people would go with the confidence and the blessing that comes with that from this place, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, amen, guys. Hey, just to encourage you, we've got one more day of prayer and fasting. We're meeting tomorrow at 7 to 8 in the morning, 12 to 1 in the afternoon. And then special thing tomorrow night, we're going to break the fast together. And if you're not fasting from food, that's okay. We still want you to come. It's from 6:30 to 8:30. And we're going to open it up. If anyone has any testimonies of how the Lord met them this week, I'd love to hear them. We'd love to hear them. And we're going to take communion again together, and we're going to have like snacks and just hang out and chill and have fellowship. And that's going to be at our annex building in Warrenton. So definitely encourage you to come to that. So God bless you guys. Go with your mind just on the Lord. All right. Have a good evening.